Only two verses this morning. The end of chapter 21 of the Gospel of Luke. Last two verses, Luke 21, 37 through 38. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to gather in your name. Lord, I want to thank you also for all the reminders how we need to be reminded. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't lose sight of the essence of the faith, which is walking with you daily. I ask, Lord, that you would bless this time in your word, and that this morning would be a spark that ignites in each heart a desire to meet with you daily, to hear from you daily. That's where it's at. In Jesus' name, amen. What are your mornings like? What is your daily morning routine? If there was a camera at your house in the morning, would we see a lot of chaos? Would we see a lot of craziness? Lots of people, when that alarm clock goes off, hit that snooze button a little more often than they should. And then they get up late and the morning becomes a mad dash to get up, get the kids ready, feed the kids, feed the dog, get yourself ready, feed yourself, and then get in the car, fight traffic, and just scramble to get everybody where they need to be on time. So often, we lose control of our mornings. And we just start the day frazzled and harried. I have a simple exhortation for all of us as Christians this morning, and that is this: let's get control of our mornings. I believe it is the morning hours that are the most important hours of the day. H.W. Beecher said, "The first hour of the morning is the rudder of the day." And I certainly agree with that. Look at what some people do in our text this morning. Luke 21, verse 37 through 38, it says, "And in the daytime, he, Jesus, was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him." Those two verses summarize how Jesus spent his last week in Jerusalem before he went to the cross. At night, during that last week, Jesus didn't go to the Jerusalem Hilton. At night, Jesus would exit Jerusalem. He'd exit the temple, and it says he would retire on the mountain called Olivet. Now, there was a small village located about 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, a city called Bethany. And that's where Jesus had some precious friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So it may have been that he would stay with them a couple nights of that week, but it's most likely that he camped out. He and his disciples went up on that mountain, and there they camped for the night. Then, every morning during that week, Jesus would get up early, and he would go into the temple, and he would teach. And he taught all day long from sunup to sundown. So that's how Jesus spent his last week before he died, before he went to the cross, retiring on the Mount of Olives and teaching all day long in the temple. Question to you, if you had a week left to live, how would you spend it? What would you do if you knew you had 1 week? That question was asked at a popular website recently, only it was 1 day. What would you do if you had 1 day left to live and you knew it? And there were a lot of responses to that question, some of them very interesting. One lady said, I would go shopping. For what? One lady said, I would be with my kids and we would go to Disneyland, but I would take 5 minutes to tell my dad how much he hurt me when I was a kid and how long it's taken me to repair the damage he did. One man said, kill Bush. I wonder if the FBI is on that guy yet. Another young lady said, I would have a huge party, smoke pot until I was unconscious. Eat a whole chocolate cake by myself. I hope I would be so high on drugs that I wouldn't feel anything. That's sad, isn't it? I looked through all those responses, and there really wasn't one person who said anything about getting right with God. Well, Jesus, in his last week of life, his last week here, before he went to the cross, spent it teaching. And I think that indicates to us how important teaching was to Jesus. I believe that teaching was the heart of his public ministry. It wasn't healing. It wasn't doing miracles, even. It was simply teaching. In his very heart, Jesus was passionate about teaching. He loved to speak so that other people could understand the Scriptures. He loved to instruct people in the ways of the Lord. He loved to equip people. He loved to give his disciples skills on how to better serve God and follow God. When they would ask him, teach us to pray, he'd go, yeah, let me teach you. And I think he was just so passionate about teaching that even up to the very end, he's in the temple teaching, instructing, bringing spiritual insight to people. And oh, what a good teacher Jesus was. You read through the gospel accounts and it says that people flocked to hear Jesus because he made things so simple. He made truth something that you could grasp and own and utilize and apply. And so many, many crowds would come to hear Jesus. Look at what they're doing here in that last week. It says in verse 38, then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. So those people in the Jerusalem area at that time, they would get up very early in the morning and they would go to the temple and they'd try to get the best seats in the house. By the time Jesus gets there, the place is packed. They're waiting. They're ready to hear from him. They sacrifice. They make the effort. They're excited. That is the simple image that I want you to see this morning. And the simple exhortation that comes from the pulpit this morning is this. Let us be a part of the crowd that wakes up early to hear from Jesus. Let us be those who say, good morning, Jesus, first thing every morning. Let us be those who daybreak unto Jesus. Because you see, here's the great truth, and AJ mentioned it. God, Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? Jesus is still teaching. And he is the greatest teacher you'll ever hear. And And let's not forget that the Christian faith isn't a religion. It's a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're born again, you have access to God. You're a child of God. By the blood of Jesus Christ, the barrier has been broken down. You can go right into the Holy of Holies of heaven, right into the very presence of God at any time with your requests. Every single morning, you can spend time with Jesus Christ and have Him teach you as your own personal tutor. Isn't that cool? The best teacher who ever walked. The best teacher who ever taught. Available to you. And I would say that we need to be just like those people that got to the temple early to hear from Jesus. If you've been around the church for some time, then you know that most Christians refer to this as the quiet time. It's the quiet time. That's a good term, although it, you know, really it's not all that quiet, because there's great communication taking place between you and God. But the idea is just taking that time every day, setting time aside to spend with God in prayer, talking to Him, and in Bible reading, reading from His Word, hearing from Him. And if we take that effort, if we make that effort, it's rich in the blessing that it will yield in our lives. You gotta sacrifice. You gotta work at it. Man, you gotta discipline yourself. Go to bed a few minutes early and set that blessed alarm clock 15 minutes earlier. Make that a priority. A noted young concert violinist was asked the secret of her success, and she replied, "Planned neglect." Then she explained, "Years ago, I discovered that there were many things demanding my time. After washing breakfast dishes, I made my bed, straightened my room, dusted the furniture, and did a host of other chores. I then turned my attention to violin practice. That system, however, failed to accomplish the desired results, so I realized I had to reverse things. I deliberately set aside everything else until my practice period ended. That program of planned neglect accounts for my success." Now, that doesn't mean you let everything in life drop, but plan to have that first moment of your morning with Jesus. And have an expectancy about it. Be excited. You can turn your prayer closet into a temple. You get up and you have breakfast with Jesus. Now, it is absolutely true that as Christians, we can meet with God anytime. It's open. The access is open. But I want to give you some compelling reasons this morning on why I think we should do this first thing in the morning. Why it's so important for us to do it first thing in the morning, in those morning hours. Here's one reason. Other Christians who have been used greatly by the Lord have done that. Learning from other Christians who have been very successful in their walk with the Lord. You know, in most disciplines in life, we are told that if you want to be successful in that discipline, then go find somebody who already is successful in that discipline, hang out with them, and learn from them. And I just got to tell you, I've read a lot of biographies in Christian history. And if you go back over church history and the men and women that God has used greatly in their generation, in their time period, you read and all of them had consistent morning devotions. Learn from them. The most vibrant Christians that I know and have known in my life have been those who have had that discipline of getting up early in the morning and spending time with Jesus. That's a consistent thing. In the Bible, you look at the saints. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. King David, wonderful man of God. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Other examples in Scripture: Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon. How about Jesus? It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Now in the morning, Jesus, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus is our role model. And if Jesus got up early and started his day with the Heavenly Father, boy, I think we should too. Here's the other reason that we should meet with the Lord in the morning. Brother and sister in Christ, it absolutely prepares you for the day ahead. It prepares you spiritually for the day ahead. Man, it's the launching pad for the day. It sets the tone. That time with Jesus, down the right course for that day. I have found that when I pray in the morning when I wake up, that sort of opens the lines of communication between me and God all day long then. The idea is you get up and you pray, and it's like communication is established, and that prayer just continues all day long. John Bunyan said, He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. But if you get up, and guys, listen, it doesn't have to be a 2.5 hour prayer on your knees, you know, on broken glass. Get up and say, Good morning, Jesus. I'm yours. What do you have for me today? What can I do for you today? And pray for your spouse and your kids and the people that you're going to be dealing with at work, the strangers that you're going to meet that day. Just open up that line of communication. The Old Testament gives us a wonderful picture of this. In the Old Testament, the priests that served in the tabernacle, every morning and every evening they burned incense on the altar of incense. And it was a formal burning of incense. First thing in the morning, they brought this incense in and it burned it. And the incense, the fragrant smoke would rise up. And it was symbolic of formal prayers for the nation in the morning. And then after the priests would do that, they'd carry that incense around with them all day. And so that's a great picture of how you and I should be as Christians. Get up, do that formal time of prayer in the morning. And you know what that's going to cause? It's going to cause you to smell like prayer all day long. And it will cause you to continually be thinking about your Lord and communicating with Him. And then there's absolutely no question that reading the Bible in the morning is such a great preparation for the day. And again, it's not like you have to You know, study the Greek language. Get out all your commentaries. Read a little bit of the Scripture every morning with this attitude. Here I am, Lord, your servant. Teach, show, guide, lead. It arms you with truth for the day. I have found that when I read the Bible in the morning, it just gives me that what I need to chew on for the rest of the day. It gives me the things to think about, the things to meditate on, the principles to lead my life by. And there are many times where if I'm reading in the Scripture in the morning and I come across a passage that stands out to me, I'll get a card out and I'll write it down, and then I'll carry that card with me all day long and try to memorize it throughout the day. Maybe while I'm in the gym, or not while I'm driving, but maybe stopped at a red light. And the idea is you arm yourself with truth and you carry that truth with you all day long, and it is wonderful. There have been so many times, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where I have read something in the Scripture in the morning that I got to use that very day. Where I read something in the morning and it served as a warning, and I came across that very error that day, or that very danger. Or there have been times where I've been in a passage of Scripture and the Lord shows me something, and I've been able to use that in a counseling appointment with somebody that day. It's protected me. There are many times where I read in the Scripture every morning and I literally get the blueprint for my day. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. It's wonderful. Christianity is a relationship with the living God who wants to talk to you every morning and direct your day. You believe that? Awesome stuff. You know, I think too often as Christians, we only meet with God at church, or that's what we think. At church, or at a Bible study, or the women's fellowship, or whatever. Man, I'm telling you, you're missing out on the best part of Christianity if you're not meeting with Jesus Christ personally, by yourself. As a pastor, I'm asked many times, how do you hear from God? How does God speak to you? How can I hear from God? I'm asked, how can I discern His voice? I'm going to tell you, the way that I primarily hear from God is in the course of my daily Bible reading in the morning. When I am going through this life and when I'm facing circumstances in my life, man, if in the normal daily course of my Bible reading, I come across a passage or a verse or a phrase even that stands out and is applicable to whatever I happen to be going through at that moment in my life, I consider that to be a word from the Lord to me. And I react appropriately. That time in Scripture, oh, how refreshing, how wonderful it is, how it prepares you for your day. Now, maybe you're thinking, there are some times when I read the Scripture and I don't get anything. You ever been there? It was so dry, there were a bunch of names that I couldn't pronounce. You know, a lot of Christians, they want to go through the Bible in a year. It's the New Year's resolution, right? And they make it all the way to about Leviticus. When all of a sudden you get to all these passages that you don't understand. Well, Terry, how do you explain the dry times? How do you get through it? Listen. There are times in the morning where I don't seem to get anything either as I read it, and it seems dry to me. But listen, every morning you're depositing more spiritual truth into the spiritual treasure bank of your life. Every morning you're building up arsenal. There have been times where, man, I remember reading something and I journal and I go back and there was a truth maybe that I wrote down that didn't have much of an impact on me on that day, but a week later, woo! I'm glad I read that. Every day is building up that arsenal. It's building up that toolbox. It prepares you. As I said, you don't have to go to a seminary to learn how to study the Bible. You don't have to wait till you've got it all the answers. Listen, as a born-again Christian, you would be amazed at what Jesus Christ will teach you just with an open Bible on your lap. Get up early. Meet with Jesus. Here's another reason that I would say this, and that is it will alleviate stress in your life. You say, wait a minute, Terry, you're giving me something else to do in my morning. I'm already busy. That how you describe the morning, that totally describes my morning. How in the world am I going to chisel anything else into my busy morning? Listen, I promise you, if you make that effort, the stress of your morning, the stress of your day, the anxiety of your day, it'll go away. Because that time with the Lord will make you stronger, wiser. It will fill your life with power, joy, and peace. Your spouse will like you a whole lot more in the morning. You'll become gentle, directed, focused. Martin Luther used to say, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. George Mueller, after having read the Bible through 100 times with increasing delight, made this statement. He says, I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have so much to do, so many people to see. I cannot find time for Scripture study. Perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I. For more than half a century, I have never known one day when I had not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I have had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of those have passed through my own hands. Then, as pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I have had charge of 5 immense orphanages, also at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. The testimony of a saint who tried and practiced. It can be done. And it will change your life. Spending time with Jesus also makes you a better minister during the day. That time with Him in the morning, man, it revitalizes your faith. It focuses you. It gives you a heavenly priority. And you know, what's the most important thing that we should be about as Christians? Ministering to other people? Sharing to other people the truth? Loving other people? Ministering to our spouses, our children, our friends, people at work? Strangers that we meet? And there's something about that time in the morning with Jesus that makes you a better minister. It makes you more sensitive during the day to love more people, to minister to more people, and to be effective to more people. You see, hanging out with Jesus rubs off on you. Jesus was a great minister. And he teaches his people to minister. You remember the apostles in the book of Acts? How, after the church is born, they go out and they're preaching the gospel, and they absolutely change the city of Jerusalem. So many people got saved. It was amazing. And the religious leaders are upset. They're like, look what you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Wouldn't that be a great, awesome thing to have this community say, not us? But this, how in the world can these 12 apostles do that? That would they look out, they're uneducated fishermen. They don't have the skill set. How are they doing this? And then one of the leaders says, oh, but wait a minute. Those guys had been with Jesus. If you are with Jesus, if you spend time with Jesus, it shows. It rubs off. He makes you successful. He guides you and he makes you a wonderful minister to people in your life. Listen, when you spend time with Christ in the morning, you become a blessing to other people. I love it. In John chapter 4, Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So if you get from Jesus, you get this water that springs up to everlasting life. But then later in John chapter 7, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The idea is that Jesus fills you with his living water. And we need to go to him often. Go to the well. Because what Jesus really wants to do through our lives is actually have his water overflow our lives and flow from our lives to bless other people. When you go to Jesus in the morning, I think you're taking big gulps of the well, living water, that will overflow out of your life through the rest of the day. I always love what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, God said to Abraham. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That God told Abraham, first I want to bless you, and then I want to turn you into a blessing for others. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to do with each one of us. First, bless our socks off. And then turn us into a blessing for other people. And I believe as you meet with Jesus in the morning, you get blessed by him. And he makes you a blessing to others that day. Another great reason to meet with Jesus in the morning, and I close with this, it's a blast. It's enjoyable. Jesus is fun to hang out with. He's an awesome Savior and an awesome God. So I'll be closer to you than a brother. You wake up and you say, good morning, Jesus, and you spend some time with him. And he'll say, here's the adventure I got lined out for you today. Here's the truth I have for you. here's the people that I want you to love on today. Here's what I want you to be extra sensitive about today. And as I said, it just opens up the whole day to spending the whole day with Jesus and walking with Him. And what a wonderful Savior He is. Again, all about relationship. If Christianity were just another religion, I wouldn't want it. Christianity isn't a religion. It's about a personal relationship with a living God. Enjoy it. Let's all bow our heads and let's close our eyes as we finish the service. Lord, forgive us if we have turned our walk with You into some rigid, ritualistic, dry, stale system. We know that's not what You want. We know that You desire a real, dynamic, loving relationship with us. And I ask, Lord, that You would help all of us to start our days in Your presence, the best presence to be. Help us to get a hold of those morning hours. What a joy and privilege it is to have You walk with us through life. Guide us. Equip us. Nothing better, Lord. Perhaps there's one here this morning who does not have a relationship with the living God. It's available. It's possible. It's supernatural. It's wonderful. It'll change your life forever. How do you enter into a relationship with God? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, it's our sin that serves as a barrier between us and God. And that sin has to be removed so that you can go and be acceptable in the sight of a God who is perfect and holy. And so Jesus was sent to die on the cross for your sin, my sin, the sins of the world. And He rose again the third day, and the gospel message is, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and believe that He died for you, the barrier gets taken away. You become born again. And you enter into a real relationship with God, who will walk with you daily, fix all the messes that you've made in your life, and will one day take you safely into the heavenly kingdom. It's relationship. Would there be anyone here this morning who's never entered into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ? You've never asked Him to be your Savior. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity right now by just simply raising your hand high so I can see it. Is there anyone here this morning who is yet to make that decision? I am coming to You, Lord. This morning, I want You, Jesus, to be my Savior. Anybody need to make that decision this morning? Then let's stand together. And let's finish with a song of worship and praise, singing directly to a God who hears. Amen?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my